Ephesians chapter 4. A couple of weeks ago, you can start the clock, Terry. A couple of weeks ago, I detoured a little bit from the lesson that we had been teaching on. The lesson was entitled, or is entitled, The Last Adam, The Dominion Restored. And I just felt a couple of weeks ago we had, well, you showed your appreciation for us as your pastor and first lady. And that Sunday, I just felt impressed to share with you concerning what is a pastor. How many were here that Sunday? Okay, how many were not here that Sunday? All right, you're going to need to get the tape because I'm going to detour again. And we're going to pick up where I left off because I think there's some things that you need to understand concerning God's pastoral heart for you and his care for you. When I say you, I'm always speaking generically. I may say it like you, like I'm speaking to you as a congregation, but I'm including myself. His pastoral care. And you don't need to understand what is a pastor from the standpoint of the Word of God. Many of us have grown up in environments and in church settings where all we saw as pastor was what was standing in the pulpit. And for us, that was the basis for what a pastor is or what a pastor does or what a minister does. And that may or may not be in line with the Word of God. So my purpose in sharing this information with you is to show you from the Scripture so that you can make a decision for yourself when you stand behind someone that you call your pastor to see if he or she is lined up with the Word of God. And so that you could also hear the voice of the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd, and I'm going to understand why I'm using the terms, I'm going to share with you in just a moment why I'm using the terms interchangeably, shepherd and pastor, because they are interchangeable terms, and I'll give you the breakdown on that in a minute. But the job of a man or a woman who stands before you is to help you hear the voice of God from the standpoint of the Scripture, and then you'll see why I said that. So if you're not getting the Word of God, how can you recognize the voice of God? God, from the standpoint of the Bible-believing Christian who believes in the God of the Bible, he or she has come to accept that God's revelation of himself is found in the Scripture. Would you agree? And what we're about to read is what God said about his flock, his people, his children, and what he's put in motion for them and what his desire is for them. Well, once you hear that from God, you'll be able to recognize if a man or a woman is in line with God by what they say. Even though they stand in the office of a pastor or a minister or an evangelist or a prophet or whatever it is that they refer to themselves as, you will be able to hear the voice of God by what they say. If it's not in line with the Word, you can say that's not from God. Are you with me? And there are some mindsets that people have concerning God that they got from a man or a woman, not from God. And hopefully, as we go through this little detour in our last couple of weeks, you'll be able to see it for yourself. It won't be something I'm just making up. It'll be something that you see for yourself in the Scripture, so that when you begin to listen for what God is saying to you as an individual, you'll be able to say, yes, Lord, that's in line with your pastoral care for me and your shepherd's care for me. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Are you here today? All right. Are you just waiting to hear where we're going to go? All right. I'm going to think that anyway, even if you're not thinking it. I'm thinking that you're waiting with bated breath for my every word to come out. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus. I'm reading from the New King James Version, by the way. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each of you, to each one of us, Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he, the context is Jesus, himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all what? Come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, for the Bible-believing Christian, he or she believes that Christ has set gifts in the church. Who set them in the church? Christ set the gifts in the church, correct? So, if he set them in the church, he has a plan for them. Is that right? And he has a plan for the church. Now, the church is the body of Christ. Keep your finger here and turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to come right back to Ephesians 4. But in verse 12, it says that the gifts that he gave, and he mentioned in verse 11, he gave them for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the what? Edifying of the body of Christ. Now, in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at let's go up to verse 15. Therefore, I also, Paul speaking, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints, or in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who what? Fills all in all. So God looks at us, the body of Christ, the church, as being a part of the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the what? The body. He's talking about the exceeding greatness towards us who what? Who believe, the riches of the inheritance that have been left to us. So, Jesus, if you would, and you know this already, those of you who've been in church for a while, you know that when Jesus left and ascended into heaven, he told the disciples to go and proclaim the gospel to all the world. Is that right? Now, when they went proclaiming the gospel, they had to proclaim what he taught. Not what they wanted, but what he taught. Is that correct? He had to give to the, or they were to go and give to the world what he had given to them. Now, if he calls somebody to the ministry and he calls him to stand in the position of saying, like I said, what is a pastor? That person is going to have to line up with what the head said. Are you with me? They're not going to be able to line up with what their particular belief says, or the denomination says, or their family says, or what they've heard before says. They have to line up with what the head said, because he's the one who called them to the ministry. Is that right? Now, in that, go back to Ephesians 4. In this particular verse, verse 11 of Ephesians 4, we see that one of the offices that's in there is the office of the pastor or the pastor teacher. Is that correct? So, this word pastor comes from a Greek word. The word is poimen. And the word poimen translates a word that means shepherd. So when they translated from the Hebrew
to the Greek, they translated a Hebrew word, ra'ah, which meant shepherd, and they translated it into the Greek, which with the word poimen, which means shepherd. It was then taken from the Greek to the Latin, and the Latin word is pastore. And pastore is where we get the word pastor from. It's a transliteration. We just didn't translate it as shepherd. So you can look at this term pastor and not necessarily have an idea that he's talking about a what? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason I'm going over that is because the person who's being spoken of here in Ephesians chapter 4 has to operate like the shepherd operated. What shepherd? How many people don't know what shepherd? Just raise your hand. It's okay. This is a teaching session. You don't know what shepherd we're talking about. All of you know about the chief shepherd? Okay, praise the Lord. I never want to assume that people know. So the chief shepherd, then, who is Jesus, call each one of these people. Is that right? So if that person is going to go into ministry, they have to go with the heart of the... They would have to be saying the same thing that the... Because they're called by whom? All right, let's turn to John chapter 10. Look at what... We're just going to have a little quick review of some things I didn't say last time, and then we'll go on into a couple other points. John chapter 10. Is everybody with me on these first points? All right, John chapter 10. There are some things that I believed before I started to hear what the Word of God said through a pastor or through a shepherd called by God that did not come from the chief shepherd, but it came from the pulpit. Let me say it again. There were some things that I believed before I came to sit under a God-called shepherd that I believed that didn't come from the chief shepherd, but it did come from the pulpit. Are you with me? And so, not knowing what to believe, I grabbed hold to what came from the pulpit because I figured that that's had to be the case. He's a pastor. He's a this, she's a that, so they must be telling the truth. Not necessarily. Now, they could be saying it out of ignorance, no problem. Or they could be saying it out of rebellion. Or they could be lying. Amen. So, I want you to be able to go to the Bible for yourself. See what Jesus, the chief shepherd, says, so that when you go anywhere to any church, even if you leave this church, you'll listen for the voice of the chief shepherd. And the heart of whom? The chief shepherd. Are you there in John chapter 10? John chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a what? Thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the what? Shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow what? A stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this what? Illustration. He used this what? He used this what? But they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Now, you have to know something about the illustration. Jesus was using an illustration of something that was currently happening in that particular time. What would take place is that there would be, perhaps we would probably call them corrals. They would really be sheepfolds. Well, several different types of herds or several herds would be kept. But the sheep only listen to the voice of their shepherd. So he was using, if you would, this illustration to teach about himself. The doorkeeper is one who kept all the sheep. They weren't necessarily his sheep, but they were like maybe renting space. And the doorkeeper would only open to the one who owned the sheep or was the shepherd of the sheep. However, there are some thieves that don't go through the doorkeeper. They climb over the wall. And they attempt to what? Push and lead the sheep. And you're going to see some characteristics of them as I finish the message. Are you with me? So this idea of he comes through the doorkeeper and then what? Leads the sheep out, and the sheep what? Follow him. Based upon that illustration, he begins to say, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the what? Door, verse 7, John 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the what? Door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the what? The door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out, in and out, and find what? Keep that word pastor in mind, because we're going to come back and talk about it in just a second. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Can I say it this way? However, I have come that they, who's the they? Who's the they? Sheep. Would you say that the they is the sheep? However, I have come that they, the sheep, may have what? And how may the sheep have life? Who's speaking here? Jesus. Jesus is known as the shepherd. Is that right? So he's saying that his coming was to bring what to the sheep? What type of life? Not beaten down life. Not barely making it life. Not I'm trying to get you life. Not I got a hammer, I'm going to hit you in the head with life. But what? Abundant life. Who? He said this out of his own what? Mouth. Did he not? Okay, let's read on. I am the what? The good shepherd does what? Gives his life for whom? But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not what? Own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and what? Scatters them. I wonder in the analogy, could the wolf not only catch them but kill them? Why is it that some people say, well, the Lord wanted to take him? In a fire. In a car accident. In the shooting. In a raping. Well, it might have to be the Lord's way. I'm trying to find out how that's consistent with I have come and come to give you life and give it to you what? More abundantly. But pastor, I heard that from the pulpit. I already told you. There's some things that come from the pulpit that don't line up with the shepherd. You wouldn't know that until you knew what the scripture said about the shepherd and what his intent is. Are you with me? But the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I what? Know my sheep, and am what? Known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Okay, so if that's who the shepherd or the chief shepherd professes himself to be, and he calls a person to the ministry, what should be found coming out of the mouth of the one called by the shepherd? I know the word of God, that is true, but I'm laying down a foundation for you. If the shepherd said this is how he came, if he hires somebody and sets somebody in motion, they should sound... Well, it's the Lord's will that you be sick. But that came from the... of a person who stood in the position of a... Faith comes by
hearing.
I didn't say hearing the word of God, just that faith comes by
hearing.
Faith for God comes by hearing the word of God. Faith for anything else comes by hearing it. So you could be in a position of sickness or disease or depravity or challenges, and you think that that's the will for you from the shepherd, because you heard that from the... Is this making any sense to anybody? And often when a person comes to church, they've been so indoctrinated by something that was not from the shepherd, all they have is the hireling's voice. And they can't get free. We've been teaching on dominion. We've been teaching on great expectation. We've been teaching on being able to rise above your circumstances. But some people could not receive it because they have all that other stuff on the inside. I come to free you. I don't mean I in the sense that me by myself. But the word of God, if given to an individual, the Bible says the truth shall make you free. Is that right? I'm just trying to show you why I say what I say, the type of things I teach, why I teach that, because that's all I see. He's come that I might have what? Life, and have it what? More abundant. He tells me that the wolf comes to scatter the sheep, and the wolf just doesn't come to scatter the sheep. Say, let me chase you. Let's play hide and go seek. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when I see stealing, killing, and destruction, I don't even have to guess about it. I don't have to guess about it, because the chief shepherd's already told me about it. So if someone stands in the pulpit and says to me that killing, stealing, and destruction is from God, I say, that's not the voice of the shepherd. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus is the example. So if a man or woman is going to operate in ministry, and you're going to follow somebody like that, you didn't need to know what the chief shepherd came, because he's the one who called them. I'm wondering if you'll be able to distinguish between the called person and the hireling person. Are you with me? He said he came to give life more what? Abundantly. And he said he came to give his life for the sheep. So his concern is for the sheep. He's watching what? Over the sheep. He wants to make sure the sheep are what? Taken care of. Because he called himself a shepherd. It's a metaphor. So if it's a metaphor, I got to find out what a shepherd does before I can find out what the chief shepherd does. What a shepherd does in the natural before I can find out what Jesus is talking about when he calls himself what? The shepherd. Does that make any sense to you? Because he's teaching by illustration, is he not? Remember those English classes? Parables, metaphors, similes, word pictures. Maybe you want to forget about the English class. I had an English teacher. Her name was Callie Boone. She was fine. Ooh. That was my old days. Don't act like you didn't have a fine teacher. Maybe you made no other class. You made that one. They had fine men teachers too. And brothers couldn't even get a date because the girls were caught up on Mr. Hodge. I'm going to miss a Hodge class today. He said he came to what? Give us life. Give us what? More abundantly. Using the metaphor. So we'd have to go and find out what a shepherd did before we could really get a true picture of what Jesus is trying to tell us about what he's come to do. We were in Psalm 23. Let's go back there. Psalm 23 gave us, if you would, an illustration of this in practical terms. David, the psalmist, is writing the psalm, and he begins to speak as if he's a sheep. He says in Psalm 23, verse 1, and as I said, you guys have to pick up the rest of this on the previous tape that I did if you want to, you know, kind of come along with us, because I can't cover everything I covered then. Psalm 23 gives us a picture of how the shepherd takes care of the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. For you, the shepherd, are what? With me. Your rod and your what? Staff, they what? Comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, what? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, what? Forever. David, who is a shepherd, or who was a shepherd, is now speaking not like a shepherd, but he's speaking like a sheep. And the shepherd turned sheep tells us what we can expect from the Lord, who is our shepherd. I don't know if God really cares about me that way. The Lord called himself the shepherd. And David, speaking as a sheep, said, since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If Jesus is my shepherd, what's my testimony? I shall not want. Because I know, if you would, the intention of the shepherd. So I'm not going to take anything or receive anything that does not come in line with what the shepherd said he brought to me. I'm not going to receive it. Based upon what Psalm 23 says, the shepherd causes the sheep to, one, be free from lack or want. Two, be at peace in lush fields of provision. Three, to be led to waters of rest. Four, to restore the weary. Five, to be fed in the midst of enemies and adversity. Six, to receive provision of healing. Seven, expect good things in life. And eight, look forward to eternal life in the sheepfold or the house of the Lord forever. So when I go to church, I'm looking for someone who has a voice like the shepherd. That's the only way that I'll be able to determine, is this a called shepherd or a hireling? You read it for yourself. Maybe you never heard it on this wise, but does it make any sense to you? Jesus called himself a shepherd. Is that right? Said, I am the good shepherd. So, all right, Jesus, is there anywhere in the Bible? Not subjective, but what? Objective. The Bible is an objective place of authority. So it's not based upon me, what I think, what you think, what anybody thinks. It's based upon what God's revealed. So we go back in the Bible and find out, God, did you talk about shepherd and sheep anywhere? Because Jesus has now identified himself as what? The shepherd. So he says he lays down his life for the sheep. He says he came to give the sheep life more abundantly. But Pastor, I heard from my pastor that you know, the Lord doesn't want us to have anything right there today. And as a matter of fact, they call what you teach cultic. They talk about the gospel that you preach. They say that can't be true. We didn't preach it like this on this wise. Jesus preaches it on that wise, though. Are you hearing me? He said, because if I don't share in what he's brought me, I might fall prey to a wolf or a hireling, perishing for lack of knowledge. Are you following what I'm saying? So, if you and I are going to go someplace and we're going to put ourselves under teaching, we need to be able to determine if that teaching is in line with the teaching of the shepherd. Not the teaching of the denomination, not the teaching of my mom and dad, not the teaching of the current events of today, but the teaching of the shepherd. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then you can truly say amen.
Read in Ephesians chapter 4. Duh. Can somebody turn there? Goodness. Man, I'm setting this thing up and y'all. What is the. Remember, the shepherd, Ephesians chapter 4, is that correct? The shepherd called those into ministry to do what? What's the purpose? Do what to the saints? Equip the saints. What else? Edify the body of Christ for the what? Work of the ministry. Is that right? So that they can grow up to be like? What's the other verse? What does it say? Does anybody have it? What does it say? Hold on. Go ahead. Wait a second. Say what?
Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
So, if I'm reading correctly, if the teaching that you're getting isn't growing you up to look like Christ, it cannot be the voice of the shepherd. I'm asking, if that's what he called them to do, and you're not growing up or being able to see yourself in that light, are you hearing the voice of the shepherd? We need to know what a shepherd is, what a shepherd looks like that's been assigned by God, so that we can make a determination, I'm in the right place. You know, I'm not trying to exalt this place. Now that you have the information, you can evaluate me. You can evaluate it. You can say, well, Pastor, you're not growing us up to look like Christ. You're not teaching that to get us to a place. I mean, you can say that. Because I have to fit the same bill. See, if you teach the truth, you just teach the truth. You don't have to worry about anything. If I'm not in line, I need to know I'm not in line. You need to know that. You see, you need to be able to go and say, yeah, that's it, Pastor. I see it. Lord, I see that. You call yourself the chief shepherd. You said that you called people to do your work, and you told them what the end result would look like. I'm not getting that from my. That's kind of tough, huh? Yeah, so some of you had to make some decisions. You know, you were crying out to God, and you said, God, I need more. I need more truth. I need to understand more. Lord, I'm just not getting anything. God said, you need to go over there. You need to go over there. Yeah, Lord, but I've been here so long, Lord. I mean, you know, all my family's here, you know, our name's on the door, and, you know, we're on the cornerstone, Lord, and, you know, I sing in the choir, Lord, and I'm a counselor, Lord, and I'm a head usher, Lord, and... Yeah, but Lord, I need more truth, Lord. Glory to God. I just thank you, Father. I just thank you that you are the Most High God. You are the God of all the earth. You need to go over there. Wherever there is that he's leading you to go, to grow some more, you're going to have to uproot yourself. Because if where you... Now, I'm not talking about the sincerity of the person, because you can be sincere, but be sincerely wrong. Is that right? So the only thing that you're going to be able to evaluate that by is by the Word of God. The Word of God is truth. That's the only thing that's true for the Bible-believing Christian, is the Word of God. Is that right? So that's why Paul tells Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, so that you can, when you hear it, you'll be able to say, yeah, that's in line with God. That's in line with the shepherd. That's in line with what he's called us to do. If you don't have that word, you have no measuring rod. You have no criteria. All you have is a subjective feeling. And if you have... been in a certain system for a long time, then you're going to evaluate anything by that system. Oh, they didn't have an A and B selection. I'm just saying about how things are. Or the choir didn't come down the front, down the row. They don't even have a choir. They don't even have a band. They don't even have a piano player. They play tracks. I'm trying to put it where we live, because you need to see what the shepherd wants for you. Not necessarily what you've been in. I was in a certain environment for all my childhood, my teenage years, and my young adult life, until I came to hear the voice of the shepherd. I said, I got to go. Mom, auntie, grandma, uncle, I got to go. Cousins, got to go. Because I'm after the voice of the chief shepherd. I need something on the inside that only he can bring to me. And I'm not getting right here. I'm not saying that we didn't have something. I'm not saying you didn't give me a foundation, but I got to go over there. That's where my next nutrition meal is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And some of you know what I'm talking about because you had to make the same decision.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you're trying to convince some of your friends right now to make that decision. But you understand, they're going to have to make it. I'm just trying to give them a basis as well as you a basis for what? Determining if you're on the right track. So we can see then a picture of the shepherd. Jesus called himself a shepherd. We see what the shepherd does when the shepherd comes on the scene as it relates to the sheep. Turn to Psalm 100. What does God want his sheep to know? Is there anybody getting anything out of this today? Are you sure? All right, Psalm 100. You hear us coming in, and you hear us, if you would, praising the Lord, clapping our hands, singing, you know, shouting. And that may not be something that is peculiar to you or peculiar to your environment. And so you've associated church with something else. And it's to the point where I don't praise that way. I don't worship that way. And that's fine if that's your decision. But if that's your indoctrination, it's a different story. Let's see what the scripture says. Make a joyful... Wait a second. Make a joyful... They shout a lot at that church over there. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with
praise.
Come before his presence with
singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. Come on now. The Lord is saying, you need to know this, that you're the sheep of my pasture. You're the sheep of my sheepfold. You belong to me. And since I'm your shepherd, I take care of my sheep a certain way. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So the intention then of the shepherd is that the sheep do not want. Well, the Lord might want you to go through this for a reason, because he's trying to test you. The Lord may want you, saints of God, to deal with this adversity, because he has a greater purpose than you losing your leg. He has a greater purpose than you losing your breast. He has a greater purpose than you losing your job. Doesn't sound like the voice of the shepherd to me. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be what? Thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endears to all generations. And he's saying, sheep, you belong to my sheepfold. And since you belong to my sheepfold, you can make a joyful shout. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Enter my gates with what? Thanksgiving. Enter my courts with what? Praise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when we talk about let's praise the Lord and we're encouraging you to praise the Lord, we're saying, sheep, we belong to God. Glory to God. If we belong to God, what else would we be doing? Thank you, Lord God. We're not trying to generate some clapping. We're not trying to generate people saying, thank you, Jesus. We're just saying, well, Lord, you said, basically, we could say it this way. Sheep, since you know that you belong to my sheepfold, make a joyful noise or a joyful shout to all the lands. What? Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Why? Because you know that you're the sheep of my sheepfold. And I've already defined how I take care of my sheep because I allowed David via the Spirit of God to keep it in the book. Jesus says, I have come. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now that I've done that, I've called some others to fill in for me while I'm gone. This is how you will know if they're in line with me. Anybody can read it. Maybe I just brought it up. Maybe you've never seen it in these terms, but it's here for anybody. Did I stress the scripture too much? I mean, it's pretty straightforward to me, but, you know, some people, you know, they'll say, well, you know, that's not in there. Well, in there to me. Know that the Lord, he is good. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are the people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Well, Pastor, that was in the Old Testament. And that was talking about the people of Israel. And I was talking about the seed of Abraham. Well, Galatians chapter 3 tells me if I'm in Abraham or if I'm in Christ, I am blessed with the seed of Abraham. So I can claim that same promise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 3. What does God want his sheep to know? First, they're called to his, that they are sheep of his what? Pasture. Jeremiah chapter 3, he also wants them to know that when he gives them a shepherd, the shepherd's going to have a heart like his. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10. Actually, we'll start at verse 11. The background is talking about the house of Israel and the house of Judah. They had become backslidden in their condition, and the Lord began to speak to them concerning what he was going to do in, as far as restoration. That's the context. However, the principle is that when God gives shepherds, he's going to give shepherds with his heart. All right, follow me. The context is what I shared, but the principle that we can extract from it is anytime God gives something, he's going to give it the same way. So if he's called shepherds in the new, he's going to have the same heart that he gave to the ones in the old. Could you follow that? Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10 said, verse 11, then the Lord said to me, backsliding Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not cause my anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and have scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and have not obeyed the voice, my voice, says the Lord. That's language that says that these people went to serve false gods. That's what it is. Then it says in verse 14, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am what? I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you according to who will feed you with. Pastor, I came here, I've been in church for all this year, I never knew anything. I'm asking, what were you getting at your church? I'm not trying to put down any church, but people have to see that God's intent always was that they would have, when they go to church, knowledge and understanding. And the word it uses here for understanding is the word sakal. Sakal means, in the Hebrew, that you get information in such a way that you're able to handle a complex arrangement of difficulties and come up with wise decision. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, it is translated prosperity, and you shall prosper. In other words, based upon the understanding that I give you, you will be able to make wise decisions in life based upon my principles. And when you do, you'll prosper in life. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what he's laying down as a what? As a principle, as a truth. So his heart, he wants us to know, when I give you a shepherd, the shepherd, you can tell that you will begin to get what? Knowledge and understanding. Because the shepherd will be a shepherd who what? Has my heart. Our topic is, what is a pastor? Right? And we found out the word pastor really doesn't mean the word shepherd. So a God-given shepherd is going to be one who gives what? Knowledge and what? Understanding. That understanding and knowledge is going to come from whom? God. From obviously what? From the Word of God. Is that correct? Now, let's look at what other point. What are the instructions, or if you would, what is God against as it relates to the shepherd? What is God against as it what? Relates to the shepherd. Since he's called the shepherd, Jesus is called the shepherds, then there are going to be some things where he's told the shepherds to go and teach, obviously. But there's going to be some things that are going to be a problem for God if the shepherd is not doing his or her job. Would you agree? Okay, you don't know necessarily where I'm going. Some of you might, but I just want to see if you can follow the flow. The question is, what is God against as it relates to the shepherds? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23. Again, all this is as a foundation so a person can make a value judgment as to whether or not they are sitting at the feet of someone who is called of God, someone who is fulfilling the fivefold ministry gift as the Lord has set it in the church. Are you with me? Jeremiah chapter 23, starting at verse 1. Woe to whom? Woe is problem. It's not like, whoa, that was good. Whoa, that was out of sight. No, whoa means problem. Bad stuff. To whom? Shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says who? I wonder what God means by scattering the sheep. Wrong what? Wrong teaching. Jesus already says that the wolf comes to do what? And he says something about the wolf. What does the wolf do? Scatters. You see, so the teaching is going to be similar to that which what? Scatters the sheep like a wolf does. And a wolf has a characteristic. What's the job of the wolf as it relates to the sheep? Food, kill, what? Steal, what? Destroy. If you can flow with me, the teaching that we get is from the pulpit is either going to bring us towards abundant life or killing, stealing, and destruction. Are you with me? So, God, I wonder if it's too much of a stretch to say that the teaching that the Lord is talking about caused the sheep to scatter. It didn't bring them what? Abundant life. It brought them what? Death. Or made them accept what was death as if it came from. That's just my point. You don't have to go with me on that. You don't have to believe that. That's just how I see it. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel against the shepherds who what? Feed my people. You have scattered my flock, driven them away, and not what? Attended to them. The word attended, you can go look that up, has to do with shepherding. All that Jesus already told us in, or David said in Psalm 23, would have that picture in terms of attending. Behold, I will attend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their foes, and they shall be fruitful. What else am I going to teach you other than being fruitful and prosperous? When you start to follow the shepherd, who is Jesus, who gives you knowledge and what? Understanding, bringing you back, if you would, out of that darkness that you may have been a part of, to a place where you begin to see the what the shepherd always had for you. Maybe I'm stretching too much. But I will gather the remnant out of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and bring them back to their foes, and they shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking. Says the Lord. So I'm listening for the voice of one who stands in the under-shepherd position to find out if the message that he gives me leads me towards lack or abundance. Is this too deep? Shall we stop? You know, I'm just trying. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise up to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Is that Jesus?
Yes.
Is that Jesus?
Yes.
So Jesus says, when I come on the scene, I'm going to go and get those things that were left behind. I'm going to get those sheep that have been scattered. I'm going to bring them back to a place. I'm going to give them shepherds who have my heart. And as the shepherds teach what I tell them to teach, they will increase, be fruitful, not fear, not be dismayed, nor shall they lack. I'm trying to find out what is the voice of God. What is God against as it relates to the shepherds? He told us some things over here. Turn to Ezekiel 34. Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, the shepherds will be the same shepherds today. As he spoke to them, he's speaking to us. Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not what? Feed or shepherd the flock. Notice what he says. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick. We don't pray for the sick at this church anymore, because we believe praying for the sick went out with the early church. I wonder what voice that is. Nor have you brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you have what? Rule them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. I wonder if that's what happened to a lot of people. They were in the wrong sheepfold, under the wrong shepherd, not knowing, either out of ignorance or rebellion. Got scattered, got beat up by the world, but they start to cry out. And as they start to cry out, God sent them to a place. That's why I ask people, when you come here, did God send you here? Don't come here because we have a grand, you know, facility. You come here because God sent you here. Because if he sent you here, he has something for you. And I believe that what he has for you is to see the heart of him, the heart of the shepherd who wants you to be in a position where you not want, where you not lack, where you're not dismayed, so that you can reflect, if you would, the sheep of his pasture. Praise the Lord. We're out of time. I hope you got something out of it. What is a pastor? Praise God. Every head bowed, pleading, every eye closed. No one leaving or moving except those who may have emergencies. The service is not over yet.